If you had to choose America's favorite hymn, what would it be? I think we would have a hard time. We'd be hard-pressed to find one more loved than Amazing Grace. According to the Lutheran Service Book Companion to the Hymns, it has been recorded by pop stars ranging from Aretha Franklin to Jerry Garcia. It was a hit record for Judy Collins. A bagpipe version by military band, the Royal Scots Dragoon Guard, spent weeks at the top of the British charts as the number one single. Bill Moyers made a PBS documentary about the song, its different performances, and its impact on people's lives. There's at least one entire book written about its history. But what do you actually know about the song and its writer? The lyrics were written by John Newton, a degenerate and immoral sea captain and slave trader who converted to Christianity during a raging storm at sea. Even more amazing was that Newton became a minister, and its hymn is thought to be at least partially the basis for a sermon text that he preached on January 1st, 1773. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 16, provided the rest of the foundation for his sermon, a sermon which talks about King David's prayer, a prayer that goes like this: Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? Alluding to God's grace that is so undeserved by King David, by John Newton, by us. As we look at our Old Testament reading for today from the book of Hosea, we see God's patience and God's grace demonstrated for us again. Hosea lived in the time of the divided kingdom, Israel to the north, Judah to the south. The kingdoms had experienced a time of rapid moral decay, with the golden calf being the northern kingdom's official national god. The degradation and the deprivation of the people of God was simply unbelievable. They included pagan gods and foreign liturgy in their worship. The people did their ritual sacrifices required by God just in case, but everyone knew that Baal provided the rain they needed to make their crops grow. And peace came through alliances with Assyria, Babylon, and Egypt. Altars were built to worship idols in order to satisfy their political alliances. Priests closed their eyes to these polluted forms of worship. And Israel no longer lived as God's treasured possessions. In the chapters leading up to our reading for today, God charged the people, there is no faithfulness or steadfast love, no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed, from Hosea chapter 4. Prophet followed prophet with warnings against their ungodliness. Invitation followed invitation to return to the Lord in repentance. God's frustration is evident when he asks in today's verses, What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? And his shocking judgment against his chosen ones was this: Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away, from verse 4. I wonder if that is how God would describe the United States, the world, today. There's no faithfulness or steadfast love, no knowledge of God. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Several weeks ago, during fellowship in the Word, our adult Sunday school time, we looked at the latest recommendations from the UN to the world. The document was titled, the 8 March principles for a human rights-based approach to criminal law proscribing conduct associated with sex, reproduction, drug use, HIV, homelessness, and poverty. A long title for a document produced by the UN with its recommendations for the criminal courts to deal with these 6 areas based on a human rights approach to law. This document was 5 years in the making and resulted in 21 principles that they recommend should govern our court system. By our, I mean us, the United States, as the U.S. is part of the UN. The first 14 principles were pretty standard stuff, but principle 15 recommends taking abortion totally out of the purview of criminal law, effectively making it abortion legal worldwide. Principle 16 recommends making underage sex legal with no restriction recommendations on the age limit. Principle 17 makes prostitution legal, including those who facilitate it, what is commonly known as pimping. Principle 20 suggests making the legal the possession, purchase, cultivation of drugs for personal use, including anyone under 18 or while pregnant. Let's think about this for just a minute. This recommendation would make it perfectly fine for a pregnant 15-year-old to shoot up heroin. And lastly, Principle 21 advises that life-staining activities in public places and conduct associated with homelessness and poverty be made legal, including sleeping, eating, preparing food, washing clothes, sitting, or performing hygiene-related activities such as washing, relieving oneself, I cleaned that one up a little bit, and other similar activities in public places where there are no adequate alternatives available. There's no one that can tell me that we are any better than the Israelites of Hosea's time. Why would God love a people like us? We always think that we are better than the people of Israelites. Now, the people of Israel, were bad, worshiping false gods, behaving like idiots. And they were. And after delivering the Israelite people from the Egyptians, God brought them to the border of the Promised Land. He had promised Israel overwhelming blessings and his continued presence. What did they do? They literally turned the other way and spent the next 40 years wandering in the desert. And yet God still took care of them. Talk about amazing grace. But are we any better? The writer of Hebrews warns us not to do the same thing. I quote, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 3, assorted verses. We are just like the Israelites if our love that we show for God today in church vanishes tomorrow in the early morning dew, as described in verse 4 from Hosea. We may look great sitting in the church pew today, but how will we look as we go about our business tomorrow? Will we turn away from God and his word, or will we serve him and his will? our hope, our comfort, our encouragement is that even though we look a lot like the people of Israel, and we will mess up, God will never leave us. He will rebuke us, chastise us, even discipline us, like all good fathers do to their children, because fathers love their children. But he will never leave us. His burning desire is to save us from our unbelief and false security in things other than him. But he will always rather exercise mercy rather than judgment. And that mercy comes to us through faith. Faith created through the water and the word through baptism. In baptism, the power of God's grace forgives our sins and our guilt and gives us eternal life. The Holy Spirit begins his work in you and continues his work in you, creating and sustaining your faith, burying you in Christ's death, so that with Christ you are raised to a new life in him to the glory of God our Father. Hosea's words in verse 2 are true of our baptismal death and resurrection in Christ, because they are true of Christ in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, so that we may live before him. Verse 2 from our Hosea reading. As long as you and I live in this world, in this life, there will be instances when you and I sin, and we may be disciplined. We still battle our sinful nature. That's why Hosea reminds us in verse 4 that our love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. But Hosea also reminds us that God, in his eternal grace, gives us this assurance. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. We cannot give God that perfect offering that he desires, but Christ himself provided that offering on our behalf. God's mercy, his steadfast love, his grace is eternal. It never fades or wavers according to the situations we are in, the events in our lives, the events in the world. God's own Son gave us true knowledge of God when he came and lived in our sin-filled world as our substitute. He provided the one sacrifice for all people, for all time. He himself testified that everything necessary for our salvation has been done. His final words from the cross still sounds the victory. It is finished. And despite reports like the one from the UN, despite Pride Month, despite the celebration of all that is sinful in the world, God still sends rain on the just and the unjust. The vegetables still grow, and people still come to faith in the amazing God who shows amazing grace. Celebrate God's amazing grace this month, every month, and to God be the glory. Amen.